From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Seth Kaiser, the guy who writes for The Athletic, which is, I don't really know what it means or what it does, but I like it. I'm here with Brian Tracy and the legend himself, the man that I like to think of as the man that makes other men feel unmanly, Chris Clark. Ryan does his RGR football stuff on YouTube. He's put out great work there. Chris writes for Chiefs Digest, and he's actually one of my favorite people ever to supervise from way, 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 way back in the day. But that's a whole other story there. How's it going, guys?
Well, I'm guessing that you liked supervising me back in the day because you didn't have to supervise Ryan and his inability to write complete sentences with no spelling errors.
You know, what I've always felt with Ryan is that he is more of a speaker. He's an orator, if you will. Oh, by the way, I did a sermon today on speaking life rather than saying mean things. So it's all compliments today, which is going to be tough because we're about to talk about the Chiefs defense. And so this is going to be a nice experiment as I attempt to say everything in the form of a compliment tonight. And so I'm going to need some time to think about this. So guys, the secondary, what's up?
There's a secondary? I was unaware. And folks, if you're new to the show, I know we're getting a lot of people that are just listening to us for the first time this time of year. We are a three-man comedy pack half of the time, so don't be alarmed. We will talk football.
At least half the time.
At least half the time. So okay. So we've got I'll start it off with a compliment, and you guys tell me what you think. The Chiefs secondary appeared to be very courteous in their willingness to escort the Bears wide receivers into the end zone. Let's talk about that.
No.
That is one of the best compliments I've heard about that was the game.
Yeah, it was an interesting game to watch. And so I have some thoughts. I just posted an article on The Athletic talking about what I think happened, but I already know what I think happened. I want to know what you guys think happened. So since I complimented you so much already, Chris, help me out here, man. What happened?
Well, and I didn't get a chance to read your article, at least the first part of it before we recorded this show. And I will have to agree with you. I thought that it looked like, scheme-wise, they probably were going to be okay, but players just didn't look like they were in the right positions. And you saw that several different times throughout the game. Hitchens was late to get there. Ragland wasn't able to wrap up, and he's a pretty sure tackler. So for me, it's one of those things you look at what they were able to do on defense or what they weren't able to do on defense, and it's a comedy of errors that seem to be mostly mental and guys not ready to play yet. Ragland and Hitchens, I think, made a big impact in the running game, and they have an opportunity to do well in the pass, but they are slow to react right now because they haven't been in game situations.
Sure. You saw some rust is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely. Ryan, where do you land there, brother? I know you're a big Bob Sutton fan, so
Yeah. I'm so huge on Bob, but I can't fault Bob. This wasn't Bob. This was execution on the player's part.
Hold on. He's so big on Bob. He's like right behind. Like Bob is right ahead of Rex Ryan Ryan.
Sure.
So just want to throw that out there.
Naturally, because they're both so aggressive.
Exactly.
So Ryan, so you saw execution issues. So Chris talked about the linebackers. I know you've had secondary on the brain all offseason. You have been, I don't want to say a portent of doom about the secondary, but close. And yes, that is a compliment. Yeah. You have been prophetic in your concerns about the secondary. Did those concerns spring to life in front of your eyes on Saturday?
You know, I tried to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think Fuller looked like Fuller. You know, I tried to listen when you guys said it's going to be okay. It's going to be, you know, it's going to work out. It's not okay. Okay. It's just not.
Everything is not all right.
And again, this is execution. And you know, and I'll give Skandrick a pass. He got double moved pretty hard by a guy that's played, you know, like five games in three seasons. But I thought overall he did all right. Obviously, without the all 22, I'm sure you said that in the piece. I haven't seen it yet, but without all 22, it's impossible for me to know. But I felt like when I saw him take stabs at guys' chest, I thought in the press he looked fine. I thought that his zone turns looked good. And I mean, again, that savvy veteran experience that we talked about last week came into play on the screen for me.
Right.
But every single last worry that I had about David Amerson was on the screen in Chicago. And I am just baffled at right. why they feel he can play man coverage in the NFL. I mean, just in the league.
And that leads me to kind of the direction that I went with the piece that I wrote. Now watch, in all compliments, Amerson was mesmerizing in his inability to keep up with NFL wide receivers in their routes. It was absolutely awe-inspiring how little impact he made on that crosser that went for 54 yards.
Yeah.
And how little impact he had on the receiver's route, and then how quickly he was left behind attempting to undercut the route. And so, okay, I've taken the compliment thing as far as I can go. I've tried. And I feel like 6 minutes and 15 seconds is not bad.
Wait a second. Can you compliment Eric Murray on that 54-yard completion?
Oh, my goodness. Eric Murray was astoundingly kind to Chase Daniels' ego and that of the opposing defense or the opposing offense. And I think it's important. We need more kindness, guys. We need more people who are willing to open doors. And sometimes those doors are literal, as when you're about to enter a building. Sometimes they're metaphorical, when you open the door to the defense and allow people to scamper through untouched. Here's what I'll say. Execution matters. There was not a lot of scheming going on, and the Chiefs' pass rush kind of came to life. Passing, you'll look good. I mean, they flagged him for the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, but that whatever.
I was going to say, I wanted your comment on that. I wanted to compliment.
We got to get into that later.
Oh, well, he made a great rush. I have no comment on the officiating. But here's the deal with the secondary. So this is the good news, bad news portion of it that I wrote about on The Athletic. The bad news, because you always start with the bad news, right? Unless you're, you know, crazy. The bad news is that there appears to be a personnel issue with Amerson. That appears to be very, very real. And I would say with Eric Murray and maybe Leon McQuay, basically all the safeties.
Maybe?
Yeah. I'm trying to be kind. And so there appears to be a personnel issue, and that's problematic, especially in an offseason where it was a buyer's market at safety. You know, we're relying on Eric Berry to come back healthy and Daniel Sorensen being a contributor. And now it's like, huh, look at you holding your hat with nothing in it. So they appear to have personnel issue. The good news is that what I could see is Skandrick, he looked fine. Yeah, he got beat on a double move, but that happens. It was his first series in. I'm assuming he was jittery. We've seen very good players bite on double moves. It just happens. And so beyond that, he actually looked okay in coverage. I don't have the all 22, but they've been using a wider lens this preseason, which has been awesome. And so I've been able to see a little more. Skandrick, to me, based on that one game, I would bench Amerson the moment Steven Nelson's healthy. And yes, that means you've got basically three kind of slot corner types, but Kendall Fuller's playing really well on the boundary too. And then here's what I would say. The rest of the good news is the execution failures you saw from Hitchens were, I mean, he had like three or four really bad plays in coverage. Here's the deal. I saw him make those plays last year in coverage. Multiple times. He was in coverage all the time. Right. Dallas. These are basic zone assignments. I think he was getting his feet from under him. So I'm not ready to write it in just yet, but I will tell you, they really do need to figure out something personnel-wise in the secondary, or Phil Rivers is going to throw 500 yards of ducks in week one.
I have an idea that I want to bounce past you guys, but let's take a break right here. We'll come back and talk about that in a second. So I completely agree with your proclamation. And by the way, please, let's stop with the compliments. I threw up in my mouth a couple times. but the Amerson thing, I mean,
yeah.
I think we all three of us feel that he could play zone schemes better, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, Chris, tell me the Chiefs can't move him to safety and we can be comfortable with that.
Maybe they can. And maybe that's what they do. I don't really have a great answer because – You know, honestly, Seth kind of said this a little bit, and we didn't really get into it too much, but Chiefs have always been vanilla when it comes to schemes and what they're calling during the preseason. You would hope that there's still stuff that they are holding back and that they will have for the regular season, but it's been very hard to watch so far through three games. Sorry.
Yeah. That's a really good question. You know, Amerson does have some physical talent, and he's much better when he keeps the play in front of him. I personally don't know if he has the change of direction to play safety. I'm telling you, if you watch him and then you watch Skandrick, and I'm not saying Skandrick's this world beater or anything like that, but he looks competent. And Amerson, It's unfortunate. In training camp, I thought, man, Amerson's not looking as bad as I thought he would. And since the lights came on, it's been horrific. I don't know that Amerson is really a guy that you want at safety. However, if he just understands zone concepts, he might be an upgrade over what we're seeing.
Well, that's kind of what I think. And I'm trying to find a way that they can salvage the money they paid him and get an upgrade at the back of the defense. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still an Eric Murray guy. But, you know, that play he made turning his back on Chase Daniel. And maybe he was, you know, feeling like, oh, my guys are going to get there. I don't have to worry about him. I'm going to take my receiver and do my job. Okay, but you got to be more aware than that.
Yeah, that was.
And I think I thought he was the best safety on the field for them that day, and that's saying something.
It is saying something. I think they want to be a defense that has Hitchens and Ragland on the field on passing downs more, to where they're less reliant on their safeties. And I think it looked pretty bad because, for one, Matt Nagy is not. I mean, he's a perfect guy to exploit the Chiefs' general vanilla scheme. I mean, Talk about a perfect guy to do that. And you know, Hitchens and Ragland, they looked a little rusty. And, I mean, you just – okay, let's hope Eric Berry is healthy. If he becomes healthy, they just need one safety who can just not suck. That's all they need. Just one safety who doesn't suck. That's it. And So maybe Amerson could be the answer there. I personally – here's an idea that I thought I'd run by you guys. What would you think? Like, I mean, how about this? Do you agree that it might be time to take drastic action, Chris? Like, do you think it's time to, like, really do something, like, kind of crazy?
Depends on what you're talking about crazy.
Well,
I honestly, you know, Ryan and I were talking about this on yesterday's show. We were talking about who's going to make this team and who's going to make the roster. And we both came down to basically the same roster for the most part, although I think I had one less player. And right now my thought is that one less player might not be on the field or might not even be on the Chiefs team. I'm not going to be shocked if they don't make a move. Now, whether or not it's a corner or safety, I think they definitely need to be looking at safety. Over the weekend, it came out that the Patriots are releasing Eddie Pleasant, I believe. I know nothing about the guy. Yeah. I do know he's a veteran. He's played for Houston.
Right.
So he has experience. And right now you have three guys that have almost no experience in that safety room.
Right.
That are playing. And are scheduled to play a lot, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they can learn how to play, but safety is a position you really don't want to have inexperience and they can really hurt you really quick.
Yep. Ryan, what do you think? Is it time to do something drastic?
Yeah. I mean, it was time a week ago. Now it's really time. I mean, honestly, and I don't know what form of drastic that takes, because if you think that you're going to be without Sorensen, and here's this for irony, I'm going to tell you why the Chiefs need Dan Sorensen back right now. But if you feel you can't
get punished or something.
Yeah, right? I have wronged someone, but if you feel you can't get him back till midseason or beyond, I think you have to cut ties with an injury and just get that cap space back so that you can try to do something. Right. I don't know that Pleasant's an answer.
With an injury settlement, it won't be a huge amount, but it'll be something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not saying that Pleasant's going to be the answer. I just think that it would give them another veteran that could actually contribute. But of course, I also thought maybe Robert Golden could contribute at some point, and that obviously didn't work out.
Well, you can see why maybe Golden's a little upset that he wasn't getting on the field.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I mean, he must have been sitting there watching. And I mean, again, we'll see if maybe McQuay or Watts or – because, I mean, Watts kind of had his shot, and now he seems to have faded into the background a little bit. And, I mean, you got to imagine Golden's looking at this and like, man, I started some games last year. Like, what are you guys doing? You can see why he might have asked for a release.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's one interesting thing that I keep kind of coming back to. You know, the front seven looks pretty solid. Like, Veach, you know, set out with a plan to fix the front seven. I think the front seven has looked pretty good.
Yeah, and I said that the other day, too. Like, his goal of achieving a nastier front and being more stout against the run, I think he's done that.
Yeah, they look – you can see the difference with Hitchens and Ragland and Derek Nottey, who's looking like a solid pick. And Xavier Williams when he was healthy against the run. You can see the difference. I think they're going to be a lot tougher to run on this year. But here's the deal in the modern NFL. It doesn't matter if you're good against the run if you can't stop the pass. And so it's almost like they kind of robbed Peter to pay Paul a little too much. You know, there were a lot of rumors that they wanted, you know, they were interested in some corners that they just weren't quite able to snag in the draft. So maybe that's what happened.
That's your job.
It is. You've got to make it happen. Especially, I mean, what's happening right now in the secondary is it looks like it could be something that could cripple a really talented team. And that's not okay. Especially, and I'm not all on board, you know, I do the whole let it go gift to people. But especially when you trade away a Pro Bowl corner. You better make sure that your secondary doesn't completely suck the next year. Like, you know, it's one thing if you're not, like, if you don't take a step forward. But if you're noticeably worse, that's not going to be good. That's not going to go over well.
Well, and here's the whole thing. You get more stout against the run so they can't just run for 3.5 yards and pick up first downs at will. But you also do it so that you can get yourself in better third down situations.
Right.
And if you get third and long, third and seven plus, but you have a secondary that can't track anyone, you're still going to get a worn-out defense that can't keep up at the end of the season, and you're going to be in the same situation you've always been in.
Right, and you're going to not allow pass rushers to get home. So I have a proposal for what could free up, because the reality is, I mean, there's still a couple guys that they could grab that could maybe at least staunch the bleeding a little bit. So I have a crazy proposal that I'd like to give to you guys. I think we got to take one more break. But can I
know where you're going.
Yeah, let's do that and do it on the flip side, but tease it.
Okay.
Tell me.
It involves cutting a player in the front seven. It involves shifting a position. And it involves signing a player. It's a lot.
Oh, okay, let's do this.
All right. I cannot claim sole credit for this idea. I'm sorry. If you're a listener, whoever it is that tweeted this idea to me, and I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm sorry that I don't remember who you are. I'm sorry. You should see my mentions. They're a mess. I just wrote about Bob Sutton, guys. So I'm sorry. I really am. My mentions are a mess. They have been for like the last – ever since I got above 10,000, it's just like I'm so sorry. I don't know. Please forgive me. But anyway, here's my idea. You cut Alan Bailey. That's $6 million right there. $6 million is enough for a first-year contract for Bashaud Breeland. Now, again, Bashaud Breeland's not a world beater, right? But he's competent. So you cut Alan Bailey, you cut David Amerson. I don't think you even try safety with David Amerson. Now we've cut Bailey, we've cut Amerson to clear cap space. We signed Breeland to be the number two corner opposite of Kendall Fuller. Then you've got Skandrick who can move around a little bit. Then you move.
When you're talking about bringing in Breeland, are you talking about just a one-year deal?
No, I think he's going to want a couple-year deal, and he's young. I don't see any reason not to sign him to a couple-year deal, honestly. I mean, we're at the point right now, no, you don't give him exactly what Carolina was offering him, but holy smokes. I mean, are we really going to hold out over a couple bucks here when you've got a team that the offense looks about ready?
I'm not questioning that. I just was curious if this was going to be a one-year, $6 million deal or if you were looking more long-term.
I'm thinking for a couple years because the only corner you've really got signed for next year is Kendall Fuller. And I think Breeland and Fuller have a good rapport. So here's my idea. You you've got four corners, right? That are relatively, that Kendall Fuller's good. Breland's pretty good. Nelson's competent. I think Skandrick's competent. So now you got four guys there. You flip a coin and you decide we're going to either move Steven Nelson or Orlando Skandrick to safety. Because unlike Amerson, I think Skandrick could play safety. I think he's quick enough. He seems savvy in zone assignments. Now, this is like an all-in move, right? This is like something you do in Madden. So is it realistic? I have no idea. But could it be worse? I don't think so. And I think Derek Nnadi is, from what I've seen so far, I think he's a better run defender already than Alan Bailey. And I don't think we'll lose much in the pass rush, or if anything, not because Nnadi's a good pass rusher, because Bailey's not either.
Well, I think Bailey has shown flashes that he can be. I agree with you. Nnadi's a better run defender right now, but I don't see him surpassing Bailey as a pass rusher yet. But maybe that's worth a gamble. But let me give you a flip side. You cut Sorensen and you cut Amerson. You're looking at 5-ish in cap space. That's probably enough to get the same deal done with Breland, right?
And that could make sense for sure. Although with Sorensen, I think they'd have to give him some kind of injury settlement that would eat into the cap a little bit.
True, but it'd be what? Not even 20% of his contract.
Right. It would be significantly less. And so I think that could work too. My big thing is I think a revamping is in order. I think this kind of snuck up on them. And maybe the season will start, right? And Eric Berry will be back at safety and allay all of our fears. And we'll see someone play at a relatively okay level in a lower key. And, you know, Nelson and Skandrick and Fuller will look fine. And we'll all feel really stupid. But right now, it looks like a legitimate... I mean, Chase Daniel just carved them up. Now, to be fair, it's preseason Chase Daniel.
But it's Chase Daniel and all of the twos.
Yep.
So
here's my thing.
If you're going to do something like that, don't you think that maybe you make another move for a different safety that has been sitting out there and not playing right now? And he is signed. I'm not talking about Eric Reed. I'm talking about another player that is on a team but has not reported. Earl Thomas.
The one problem I have
The
one problem I have with Thomas is I think he's looking for Eric Berry type safety money. And that's just not the safety market anymore.
And what's he against the cap right now? I mean, he's like, I want to say 9-ish.
Right. Now, to be fair, if you were able to get him to commit to something that's relatively reasonable and you are really confident about Eric Berry's long-term health, I don't know. I'd go for it. Because a defensive backfield of Earl Thomas, because Earl Thomas is, as a free safety, he changes what your defense can do.
Yes.
Because of his range. And so, I mean,
I will say my only caveat is that Earl and Eric are the same age.
Right.
That's worrisome to me.
Right.
And he's 10.4 against the cap this season.
Yeah. So you'd have to cut Sorensen. You'd have to cut Bailey.
Yeah. You'd have to do them both.
Right. And then you've got to hope that Skandrick is good enough at corner and that because you can't sign Breland anymore. And so I don't know. That would be
but
an all
here's
in-
my. Here's my point on that. If Berry can play, that makes you how much better? But if he can't play, having Earl Thomas in that safety backfield, as long as he can stay healthy, changes everything. Mm-hmm. And you have a young QB that is going to allow you to do moves like this because you don't have to pay him for several years.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, if they did it, it would not bother me. Honestly, what's bothering me right now is that if I were to really, and we don't have time to get into it, but what's bothering me right now is that Chris Conley looks pretty good and DeMarcus Robinson looks pretty good and Sammy Watkins does not, and they spent $16 million a year on him. That's what's bothering me. Yep. The whole thing, and we talked about this when it happened. I hope Watkins does well. I hope I see this whole complete thing. But now we're seeing, I mean, they could have signed Kyle Fuller. They could have signed Tremaine Johnson. They could have signed any number of corners that would have been, you know, an upper tier free agent acquisition. They could have signed several guys. They could have, you know what I mean? And in a weak safety market, they really could have signed a corner and two safeties. You know, they could have done all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And instead they chose to go with Watkins. And so far, he doesn't look, he looks like he really will be at best the third option. That's frustrating.
Well, I can understand that. I will say I thought he looked better against Chicago than he had to this point in the preseason. And maybe the adjustment is just going a little harder than we wanted to believe at first. I'm not sold that he can't get there. But I will also say this, that they have that money tied up in him for the future. If they decide to part ways and eat whatever they have to eat in dead money, that clears the way for taking up the same space they're going to have to pay Tyreek when his contract comes up.
It was a frustrating game. We're all trying not – it's one of those things, you know, where it's – you tell yourself preseason doesn't matter and you keep thinking, but what if it does?
The other side to me is if you bring in a guy like Earl Thomas, and I'm not saying that they're going to do it because I think it's going to cost a lot in draft picks, and you're right, he wants a lot of money. But if you bring in a guy like that, it makes it easier on your corners your safeties are going to be there to help you. At least one of them will be, assuming that Barry and Thomas can stay healthy. Barry or Thomas can stay healthy, which I guess is a big assumption. But if you're trying to go all in and you think you can win this year, you know, doing something like that and keeping another young guy at defensive line as opposed to having Alan Bailey makes sense. And cutting Daniel Sorensen, although the team really likes him, makes sense. Now, do I see them doing that move? Not a chance. But if you want to go all in.
Well, I just want to say one thing in the opposite direction. If you can't go all in, if there's no deals to be made, if there's nothing that can be done, and Eric does come back healthy, I mean, as healthy as we can presume at any point, right? At this point, I feel like this group of players in the secondary, they have no choice but to do the thing that I've been preaching all offseason that they shouldn't do. And that's, I think they have to let Eric play in the back as the deepest safety. And put the younger guys up front so that he's there to clean up mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I hate that because I don't think it's his best usage, and I don't think he can affect the game as well from back there. But I think it gets him more wins.
Makes sense to me.
So many things that they think that we all think that they should do that probably, I hate to say, maybe none of it gets done.
Right. This is honestly, this could be, we'll see how it goes. But Brett Veach's honeymoon could be over pretty quick if the secondary doesn't play out. And if it continues to look like this, because everyone was screaming for help in the secondary. And I love the Kendall Fuller trade. Fuller looks like a stud. But the rest of the stuff, the standing pat in a really a prime safety market and not grabbing any other corners. I mean, they had Bashaud Breeland there. I assume, you know, he wanted a little more than they were willing to give. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to look like they nickel and dime themselves out of a competent defense if they're not careful.
And more importantly, they wasted a year of the Mahomes rookie contract.
Correct. These years are priceless. Yeah. These are the years you compete.
Okay, so let me ask you both this question, and this is probably where we sign off because I'm not 100% sold. Well, I'm just saying, I mean, we're sitting here, we're almost 30 minutes in, and the real question comes down to if you fix and figure out a way to make your corners competent and are able to find a way to fix the safety position, do you really think that this is a team that can go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yes.
Because you only make those moves if you think you can get there.
Yes. I think this offense has enough octane to get the job done. If they can have a defense that ranks between 10th and 16th, they don't have to be all world. They just have to be competent.
They have to be competent and opportunistic. And I don't know, seeing Passanio develop and Houston looks fine. They're not having him do much. He looks fine. And seeing Chris Jones, I think, yes, I absolutely think you get competent play out of the safeties in the corners. I think this is a team that can make a Super Bowl run, no doubt in my mind.
And you bring up Justin Houston. I have to ask the question, do you think that he's officially been moved to the other side of the ball?
I have no idea.
Or the other side?
I have no idea anymore. D Ford is a really sore spot with me with this regime. And I thought maybe it was just a John Dorsey issue. But in my opinion, Tino Pasino looks like a better player at this point.
Okay, I'm depressed now.
Yeah, lots of worry. But on, you know what? Patty Mahomes looked good. And that's the next article I'm going to write about how he basically creates yardage out of thin air. So I think that's a good one to sign off on, right?
Yes. So, folks, next time the three of us are on, we will definitely cover that.
And I know exactly which throw you're talking about because that caught my eye during the game as well.
Conjures up yards out of thin air like a magician.
Well, folks, that's it for us today. We have, you know, falsely complimented people enough, and I think we're all spent. So thank you for listening today. We'll be back. Seth will be back. We will talk about Mahomes and happier things, and all will be lightness and joy. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.